You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Talking Cop. It is nice to be back on doing a show after a win. This is nice. It's finished at Craven Cottage, Fulham 1, Liverpool 3, and I'm joined once again by Ashley and Kev to talk through the finer points and details of Liverpool keeping their title hopes alive. Ashley, how are you this afternoon?
So much better today. So much better after that performance. Just like weight lifted off the shoulders.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. And what about you, Kev?
Vital result. Had to get a win. It was really controlled. You know, it was, if this is mid season and you go away and put in a performance like that, you call it a good professional performance. You know, they've got a good record at home. They picked up some good wins recently. There are players there that can cause you problems. And we haven't exactly been setting the world alight, you know. So scoring three and getting 3 points away from home. I think we were the only side to win away today in all of the Premier League games. I think all the other games were home wins. Just keeps us in touch. That's all we can do. Go and win our next game now. Put a 4-point gap onto Man City and hope the scoreboard pressure tells. Because there was an interesting thing I read this morning that Manchester City, over the last few years, when it comes down to the last six games of a season, they've never won all six. They've dropped points in every season. There's one season they got 12 from 18. Another one they got 15 from 18. You know, they haven't won 6 from 6 of their last lot of games in recent years. So, look, all we can do is do our job, put scoreboard pressure on them, and see where we end up. Yeah, but yeah, look, you take 3-1 away in London against any side. Yeah, happy. Yeah. Absolutely happy.
I mean, at this point in the season where we are, the way that the title race is coming down to the last few games, you take any scoreline that gets you the 3 points across the board. And JS saying still alive for the final five, which is very good wordplay. So well done with that one, JS. I mean, it's all that we can ask for. I mean, coming into the game without, nobody needed to say it, but it was, you had to win. You just had to win. There was no two ways around it. Arsenal did their business yesterday, so it was down to us to get the job done today. And that, in fact, we did. And if you're talking about getting jobs done, I would highly recommend everybody gets a job done of hitting that like button on your YouTube video. Thank you for joining us. Get involved in the chat for us, please. Chris Brack would love to know what the green stuff you're drinking is there, Ashley.
Matcha tea.
Oh, look at you. Like a South American.
Cultured.
Yeah, yes. Just so classy, so classy. I'm just over here drinking beer in the middle of the afternoon. Just like
a little caffeine.
Coffee.
There you go. Well, you got to save yourself, Kev. You got a big vacation coming up, and you don't recover quite as well as you used to. So.
No. It's taken a toll on me all this.
That's right. That's what age does for you. Yeah. So, I mean, the lineups start leaking out. It does seem like Liverpool has something of a leaky system involved, because you're starting to see the lineups getting out earlier and earlier before the games kick off. But it comes out Alisson in goal as expected, Trent and Robertson at fullback, Kwanzaa comes in beside Van Dijk, and then the big changes: a completely new midfield of Elliot, Endo, and Gravenberch from our last game on Thursday, and then up front Jota, Gakpo, and Diaz to play. Ashley, was that concerning to you? I mean, that's five changes from Thursday, six changes from our last league game. How did you feel about the lineup?
I mean, I think it was a bold choice from Klopp to make that many changes. I sent a group, like a message into the Telegram, and I asked, I was like, do you think this is rotation? Do you think it's because of a poor performance? Do you think he's trying something new? And the general consensus seemed to be a mix of all three. And I mean, I think I agree with that. I think it was probably a mix of all three. I think he needed to rest some people. I think some people just didn't perform the other night. And some of these players, I think, deserve to start. I think Gakpo deserved to start. I think Elliot deserved to start. I think Gravenberch has sort of disappeared and needed a start. So, and then Endo was rested. So they made sense. I just do think it was a bold choice not going with the first 11, so to speak.
Yeah, Bracky here is saying that it's great that McAllister got some rest, because he has been kind of flogged a fair bit. And then he shared a stat with us before the match, Kev, in our little WhatsApp group, that this is the 51st straight game that Liverpool have started an 11 that have never started together before. And I'm no mathematician, but that just seems ridiculous how much chopping and changing, the fact that we don't have that set starting 11 that we get to roll out every week, like, let's say, an Arsenal does.
Yeah, I'll be honest, in modern football, I don't think that exists anymore. I think the notion of having a 1-11 and that's your lot, I just don't think that's going to happen. That's going to happen anymore, and I think it's only going to get worse. Seen the uproar this week about the FA Cup and getting rid of cup replays. Ultimately, all of this is down to the volume of games that's going to be coming in the years to come. So squads are going to have to get deeper and better if sides are going to be competing in four and five competitions season in, season out. I looked at the changes and I thought, yeah, it's a fresh midfield. It's midfield that you needed energy. When you look at what they were up against, Paulinho is arguably one of the best holding center mids in the league. Lukic, you've seen today, he can play. He's a decent player. And Pereira is annoying, to say the least. Plus, he scored in his last game. So, and they've had a week to prepare. So I expected changes. It's a risk, and you're okay with it as long as it works. And it was fine today, but it was a risk. It was a risk that generally needed to happen. You know, you had three games in 6 days, traveling away in Italy as well. It's going to take a toll. Plus, you have players that are coming back from injury that are still finding their land legs. It's like they've been away out at sea for a few weeks. You know, Endo definitely is coming to that stage now in the season where it's telling that he's come from a club that is used to playing one game a week without the distractions of Europe or anything like that. I don't think Endo would have ever played at a club that was competing, playing three games every 6 days for a sustained period of time. And it's telling in some of his performances where he just wants that extra half second on the ball and is not there on the pitch. You know, not in this league, not at this time of the season. But overall, yeah, happy enough with it. And I don't think anyone can complain about the players who didn't start. You know, it's not like Mo Salah, Dominic Szoboszlai, and others have been ripping up trees and demanding. You know, none of them are going to be knocking on Jurgen Klopp's door tomorrow morning saying, why didn't you start me against Fulham? They're all going to be like, yeah, it's a squad game. We can see we needed the time. We needed the break. And we came on, we did our bit, and we got a result. Happy days.
Yeah. And I mean, the big takeaway I had from the first 10, 15 minutes of the game today, I mean, besides the fact that we didn't concede, I mean, that's just, yeah, at this point, it's just like, oh, phew, we got through that first 15, 20 minutes and we're not down a goal. But it goes back to the game on Thursday, which was Trent's first start for us since February or whatever it was before he got his injury. And he just, he looked to be that difference maker. And Ashley, he was the one. I mean, obviously we're going to get on to his goal here in a second, but don't it always seem to go, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And holy shit, it really seems like, because we were all rightly lauding Connor Bradley for what he brought, and he filled in, he did a fantastic deputy's job. But my goodness, Trent Alexander-Arnold can play some freaking passes, can he, Ashley?
Yeah, it's the passing range, which, in fairness, like, outside of Kevin De Bruyne, there's really no one else in the league that has it. And yeah, you forget about it. And I mean, by no means do I expect Connor Bradley to have that. I mean, he filled in all the right spaces elsewhere. But yeah, I mean, he's a game changer. And we've missed that. We've missed having a game changer in, and so much of our creative play comes through him. And it's like, oh my gosh, like that is the missing special sauce that we've been missing.
Yeah. And I mean, Kev, like I wrote down at about 23 minutes that he seems to be our only attacking option. And then at about 26 minutes, we get a free kick. And I'm thinking like, oh yeah, this isn't a real good spot here. Just to the right of center. It's about 23, 24 yards out. Him and Elliot lining up over top of it of like, this is all Trent. This is Trent all day. And then yeah. Elliot takes the free kick and kicks it right into the wall. And it's like, well, that's a waste.
Well, it looks stupid when it doesn't come off.
Yeah, the one thing I'd say, Fulham did really well blocking the space into Endo. And that was, Pereira stuck to him. He man-managed him. He man-marked Endo like glue. And that ball into midfield to turn and to bring the ball through, it wasn't on. We were really, for the first 20 minutes, controlling and keeping the ball around the back and then trying to force the ball through midfield into gaps that were really risky, some of the passes that were made and some of the over-the-top balls. You know, you're looking for players to make spinning moves in and around their back. Because if you watch Fulham, the way how the pitch was condensed from front to back, their block was, it was a mid-block, but it was really, really compact. So very difficult to play through. And I felt set pieces, the way the game was panning out, set pieces were going to be key. Either that or Virgil or Trent hitting a 70-yard ball in over the top for Gakpo or Jota to run onto. It was going to come from something like that, because I thought that midfield is going to be very difficult to play through. And yeah, Harvey took the first one. He was getting a lot of stick from the Fulham fans, wasn't he? But the second one. Oh, it's not his fault. It's just when he left, I think his fee was decided by tribunal in the end.
Yeah.
And it's just circumstance. But at the end of the day, how much would Harvey Elliott be worth to Fulham if he was there and looking for a move this summer? When you look at what Chelsea got Cole Palmer for, that's a difference of that's a lot of money that Fulham could have earned on having an asset like Harvey Elliott to be able to sell. And I think at the end of the day, when he left, he made it known that it was like, it was my dream move. I'm going to Liverpool. Liverpool are coming in for me. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to Liverpool and I don't really care. Yeah. And he's like, thank you very much, Fulham. And I swear to God, he was waving as he was halfway up the M1, up the motorway, out the gap. See you later. You could see him from Watford going like, bye. You know what I mean?
He made a quick detour at the Bernabeu first. You know, he took a free trip around Real Madrid's facilities, even though he had no intentions on signing for him, which is just another thing to make me love Harvey Elliott.
The one on the right was perfect, really, and it was right. It was perfect for a left footer to try to go around the wall or go over the wall, but the other one. With Trent's one, it was the perfect distance away from goal to allow him to get pace on the ball and get enough dip on it. I remember watching an interview years ago with David Beckham, and he was talking about free kick techniques. And I've always been amazed at IFAB or Premier League haven't introduced this. If you get a free kick, you should be able to bring the ball back by a certain amount. If it's on the line, I mean, the thing is, it's supposed to be an advantage to the attacking side. If you're right on the edge of the 18-yard line, it's almost impossible to get the ball up and down. You know, where you, and you've seen it with Trent so many times where, you know, they got to shift it when it's really close because you just, you, the technique required to get it up and down is almost impossible from that distance. But this one, it was the perfect distance out. He got such a sweet contact on it, and I couldn't care less what Gary Neville was saying on the wall. You know, Gary Neville was going on about like the Tosin should have been in the wall, or Adebayo should have been in the wall, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, that was the near, that was nearly Messi against us in the first leg of the Barcelona game, postage stamp stuff. It's a beautiful hit. And at one, you know, you get the goal. We desperately needed it, you know, and it's like, you know, that we've needed that as well. Having someone who can change the games with set piece deliveries, you know, because I never felt with all of the games that Trent was missing, I never felt once that we were going to score from a free kick outside the box. And I know Dominic Szoboszlai hits a good free kick from outside the box. He gets that like Cristiano Ronaldo type contact with the ball and it goes zigzagging all over the place. But Trent, that hit was just pure quality. And I don't care. It wouldn't matter who the keeper was. It wouldn't matter who was in the wall. You could have had Shaquille O'Neal in the wall. It didn't matter a job. It was just going in the top bins. Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe like a freakishly tall basketball player like George Murasan, who I think was 7'9" or something.
Do you ever remember Manute Bol? Manute Bol was a guy.
Yeah, he was like 7'2", 7'3", something like that. So Victor Wembanyama.
7'8", Manute Bol. He played, he went to UConn. And I remember him because he went to play, I think, might have been Washington. But yeah, the guy was a weed. But he was a really tall weed. But you know what I mean? It wasn't like Wemby, no chance on earth.
Yeah, check Victor Wembanyama. The guy's going to be the best basketball player in the world within a year. Ashley, on the free kick, I'd like to know what your thoughts were, because my notes say top bins, baby, perfect free kick. What were your thoughts?
I also wrote perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was so silly how they were trying to fuss over the placement of the ball. Like, oh, is it on the foam slightly to the left or is it on the foam slightly to the right? And they had to get the referee to come over and make sure that it was in their correct quadrant or whatever. I guess they don't want to have another Ivan Toney moment or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was perfect. It, you know, it's one of those things where when it comes off, it looks so effortless. And when it doesn't come off, he just looks silly. But thank goodness we needed it. We needed something to just ignite the game and just sort of get us over the line, because that's what we've been missing the last couple of games. Like, we've just been missing it going off of someone's ass. And this is so much better. Having a goal like this is so much better. But yeah, I was just pleased for him. And you could tell it meant a lot for him. I'm sure it's been hard watching on the sidelines since, I think it was February 10th was like his last start. So just having to sit and watch while this team either progressed or failed or whatever, that must have been hard for Trent, because he's such a competitor. And mentally, you know, he wants to be on the pitch at all times.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I mean, the goal goes in. I mean, it's fantastic. It's Trent's first goal since he scored in the 4-3 game against Fulham. So, I mean, to that point, even with the exception of Jota's goal, the goals we've scored this season against Fulham in the league have been outrageously good, because all four of the goals in the 4-3 game were just absolutely top drawer quality. And then this one in Gravenberch's, which we'll get onto, is also good. But that is 16 straight away league games with a goal for Liverpool, which is a new club record for us, which is saying something, because I believe that is any league game, not even just Premier League. So that harkens back to those dominant teams of the 70s and the 80s, that even they were held to a zero in an away league game at some point or another. But we keep going after that. Gakpo has a shot from the left corner of the box that he's trying to put into the near post. Leno makes a save. Then Fulham gets a counterattack, and an undercurrent through the game, Kev, Virgil van Dijk Bobby De Cordova Reed tries to run Virgil van Dijk and he's just too strong. I thought Virgil was great today.
Yeah, he was good. But he was given the performance you expect him to give. I still wish that a couple of times that he rolled a ball out of his feet and played that diagonal ball over the top. You know, he's so good at that. We just don't see it enough. I know you don't want to be telegraphing it all the time, but I mean, defensively, he's solid. You know, he's going to have to be. A lot of players in today, their mettle was really tested, even as the game wore on. You know, it's a really nervy time. They know what's at stake. They know that we're in a situation now where you have to win every single game. So it's going to be, you know, squeaky bum time really for the next five games. But yeah, I thought he was good. The thing is, they were starting for the last 5 minutes of the first half, they started to grow into it. And unlike, you know, it's almost a case of like it was coming, but something was coming, something was happening. We were really dominant in that in the first half on the ball. But it was almost like really too careful at times. But they got a bit of a break and they kept the pressure on us then. And ultimately their goal came from.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You know, Castagna's goal came from a bit of luck, really. But at the same time, they earned their luck. You know, we had opportunities to clear that and rosette it or, you know, do something, make better decisions. There was a ball from that Robertson had that he played a ball into Cody Gakpo, or sorry, into Ryan Gravenberch. It was a terrible pass in a bad area. He then took a bad touch, and that just prolonged the pressure. And, you know, Endo got 2v1 for a ball that he challenged in the air. Didn't win the header. They end up getting it wide out onto their left. Cross comes in. Robertson is half a yard away from being able to get a header on it. So he bodies your man out the way. And, you know, huffing and puffing. Ball deflects. You know, a deflection comes back out to Castagna, who's running in, he side foots it straight in 1-1. And you're like, all that control, all that good work undone by, you know, not making better decisions from our part and a bit of luck on their part that the ball just happened to bounce out into the guy who was running onto it. It was a good finish. I don't think Alisson could do anything more about it. But yeah, it's a sickener right on halftime as well. You know, we could have easily folded and collapsed under pressure, really. But we didn't, you know. So you take it for what it is. Fulham are in good form. They're scoring. I think they've scored the most goals, more goals this season than they ever have in the Premier League era. And they're a really tough nut to crack. They were always going to get chances. You know, so we aren't really keeping clean sheets at the moment, unlike Arsenal. Arsenal are keeping clean sheets for fun. But, it was a body blow. It really was, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, Ashley, but it just felt like you get into that. They put up the board, 4 minutes of added time at the end of the first half. Okay, that's fine. You come to expect that in this year's Premier League sort of thing, lots of added time. And it's just our game management. And like the goal goes in, it's 1-1 at halftime. And I don't know where you lay blame. It could have even been a penalty. Robertson, he barges right into the back of Muniz. We've seen him do that a couple of times. Might even have been a handball with who knows what refs or VAR call handball anymore. But there's a rebounded shot that's blocked by Kwanzaa. It hits him in the arm. Who the hell even knows? But Castagne hits it. It deflects off Allison, takes it past Endo, who's back on the line doing everything he needs to do. But like the whistle blows for halftime. And it's like, how is it, like, where is our game management gone? And that's like, that's the thing that I took into the half was like, how do we not have the leaders on the pitch? The guys like Virgil, Robertson, Trent, Allison, that have been there, done that, that just know, boys, let's get into halftime at 1-0. Let's not give a goal away. I don't know what your take on it was, but like, that was just my thing of like, where are your heads?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm just frustrated because it's yet again another game without a clean sheet. I think that's 1 in 11 that we have for a clean sheet recently, which is not what you would put together with Liverpool. And yeah, I mean, granted, it was sort of a series of unfortunate events. I think there's like a deflection off Kwanzaa. There was a push. There was all of these things that were happening, but it was all avoidable. And yeah, we do have leaders on the pitch, but do we have enough of them? I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of youth on the pitch with Elliot and Gravenberch in the middle of the park. But you would think with our back line sort of being, I mean, it's crazy to call it established with Kwanzaa in the back line, but I'm going to say established with that and then Ali behind them. You would think that would be enough to just get the ball out, just kick it, boot it, whatever. It happened a few times where, you know, even with Virgil, like there was a couple of miscommunications and he would just kick it as far as he could. And I'm like, that's what I want. I want that. But I think it's almost a habit now where they're just letting these little chances slip in. It's matcha, guys. It's nothing crazy.
I prefer Avos.
Yeah, it's not that.
And liquefied is the word you're looking for there, Avo. Come on, you've been around long enough. You should know better. I mean, you mentioned Kwanzaa. He did go down. He looked like he had hurt his knee on about 33, 34 minutes, and it was just like, no.
Yeah.
Shook it off.
I mean, shook it off, but there was you go over the first half, go right back to the start. Trent put a beautiful ball in for Diaz to get a header on, and it just skimmed past the post.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you know, you want, that's good. I don't mind missing those, that kind of chance, because that header, you know, on target, it's in. And it was the quality of the ball. Jota was lively, but I thought everyone was in third gear.
You know, did you think Jota was lively in the first half? Because I thought Jota was poor. I thought Jota was poor in the first half.
I thought he opened up more in the second as the game opened up, but he was, when the ball got up to him, he looked like he wanted to do more, but how can you put it? He was a threat without being his usual self. It's just the other thing that I found in the first half, Luis Diaz playing on the right wing. Very Sadio Mane in Sadio's first season with us. You know, Jota was playing through the middle. Cody Gakpo on the left, I thought, was really good today.
Yeah.
It was, they couldn't get the service up to Jota early enough. But he did occupy the centre backs. He didn't, he was non-stop moving. He's non-stop, you know, making runs, and the ball just wasn't coming. Eventually, he just stopped running. You know, it's like, and you often see that if the ball isn't going to come, the forwards are going to stop, and it must be frustrating when you're playing it the way we played in the first half, so slow, so methodical, But you got to credit Fulham with how they blocked off the space and how they condensed the pitch into like into sections, into blocks. And I almost wanted, there was a part in the first half where I looked at it, either side of the halfway line, there was 22 players. And I was just praying to God that someone would tell Jota, drop deep, spin and make runs. Just keep doing that. Just drop onto the halfway line and bring your centre back with you and just make runs going the other way. But as the game opened up, he came into his own a lot more.
Yeah, the ball has this tendency to just stick at his feet. And so when he's up to speed and he's got that match fitness and he's finding a little bit of form, it does just stick with him. It goes good. At halftime, Ashley, who did you like performance-wise for Liverpool, and who was driving you a little crazy?
I think Trent was probably the standout. I think Gakpo was also really effective. There was no one that really stood out as being particularly bad. I wanted Elliot to get more involved. I just feel like I didn't see him. And the same thing, our whole midfield kind of just got bypassed a little bit. Like there was, I think we saw it. We saw it as the game progressed. They got more involved and obviously, you know, they got their goal and things like that. But yeah, I think the standout was definitely Trent. And one thing about the Trent goal, which I didn't bring up, was it felt very cathartic because if you remember earlier this season, he had the free kick against Leno that went off the crossbar, hit his head, went in as an own goal. So yeah. It was really nice to see him get the free kick actually credited to him. So that was kind of like a nice little bookend.
Yeah, it's Anthony Boylan here has kind of had the same idea as me. Elliot and Gravenberch were not doing good things on the ball, but then he clarifies, first half that is.
Yeah.
Gravenberch grew into it. Elliot may be tired today. I like defending Harvey Elliott because, again, he's such a fan that he reminds me of all of us that come and watch these shows and engage in this sort of content, that he just absolutely loves Liverpool. But he shows for the ball, and he just offers us something so completely differently. And, I mean, Kev, we come out into the second half, and not much happens for the first little bit. Then Elliott has a great chance, and he pulls the shot well wide, and it's like, ah, come on, Harvey. Like, the fans are on his back. They're booing him. And at this point, the game got real scrappy. Both teams misplacing balls like crazy. And Alex Iwobi, that is, if this is a Fulham show, we are slaughtering Alex Iwobi for the crossfield ball that he tries to make in the 53rd minute because Elliot cuts it out. He feeds it into Gravenberch. And that's a nice way to score your first league goal, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a hell of a hit. It always looks better when it goes in off the post as well. You know, it's just something about it. But he's really, Ryan Gravenberch is really effective high up the pitch. Chris said something to me during the game. If we end up with a manager who plays a number 10, he could find himself quids in a great position. The thing is, when you look at him, he's 21 years of age. He's still learning the game. And he's still physically got to develop. He's big, he's strong, he's powerful. But I think he's got to grow into his body. I think his body needs to develop. You saw the difference. If you look at a 21-year-old Trent, and you look at Trent now, their body shape, everything about them is completely different. There's definitely a player in Ryan Gravenberch. The ability he has on the ball to run with it, to control it, and to manipulate it and manipulate space is good. It's decision making defensively that's going to come with age and experience. Yeah. You know, the more he plays in a settled side, the better he's going to be. The more consistent a run of games he gets, the better he's going to be. You know, he's been very, for his first full season, he's been very stop start because of injuries and niggles and drops of form and being in and out of the side. You know, but at the end of the day, you have to caveat everything with him at being 21 years of age. Time is his friend. He's going to be fine. You know, there's no point in throwing. I mean, I seen at halftime there was babies and bathwater flying everywhere, all over the show. It's like, it can't be this reaction. I know it's stressful for people, believe me, but it's not baby and bathwater time. you know, baby and bathwater time we've seen before in years gone by. We're far from that.
We've been doing that for the last couple of shows, Kev. So
I know, but it doesn't get you anywhere. I mean, at the end of the day, look at what you're seeing in that second half, and as the game opens up, we start to move the ball that bit quicker and be a bit more brave through midfield. We start finding space. The movement suddenly starts to get a bit better. Confidence starts to grow. Trent started to play more inverted. That was the one key that I saw at the start of the second half. And you can understand why in the first half he'd be hesitant with who Fulham were playing on the left wing to drop inside. You know, with Robinson and I can't remember who played it.
Deckard over Reed was out on
the exactly. And normally it's the other way. Bobby Reed normally swaps and plays on the right, but he played on the left to come inside to exploit space. So I can understand why Trent didn't do it so much in the first half. But suddenly him coming into the middle gives you an extra man advantage where we didn't have it in the first half and we couldn't get through. Suddenly he cuts inside and you're 4v3 in the middle of the park. And it opens up options and it starts to open up the way we play. You know, it's definitely something Klopp must have addressed at halftime. He must have just rooted him and said, get into the middle of the park and get involved. You know,
yeah, because we could win the game.
Pay dividends. Yeah, absolutely.
It's I think you made a good point there about Gravenberch and his age and stuff like that, especially when you compare him to his countryman Cody Gakpo, and you look at the strength that Cody Gakpo has. They're about the same height. But Gakpo's got, looks like an extra 10 or 15 pounds of strength on him.
I say, they were walking into the ground today and LFC Twitter put up a picture. Gravenberch walking into the ground and Gakpo was behind him. I swear, I knew Gravenberch is big. Cody Gakpo is a good 6'4". He's a good 6'4 plus that. You know what I mean? He's a big boy. You know, and for someone that big and that tall to be able to move with the ball at his feet the way he does, the control that he has, if he ever develops an ability to be brave in the air and to start to be dominant in the air, wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he's very inclined to be in the mix or going up for headers, but the strength that he has on the half turn in the middle of the park, and you saw it at one point. Who did he play in? It's somewhere here. I think it might have been Jota that he played in. And it was for the goal. Yeah. It's for the 3-1 goal. I mean, the strength that Gakpo shows in the middle of the park. And I feel that Gravenberch has that to add to his game, because right now he can look a little bit like newborn deer on ice at times. Like, he seems to have a tendency to just fall down a little bit. And once he just adds a little bit more, spends another year in the weight room sort of thing and gets that balance set right, and he's doing all well and good. I wanted to come back to this one. Patrick Boyle saying, didn't get to see the game, unfortunately. How did we cope with overloads today versus our right back or left back with all the fresh heads in the team? I mean, Ashley, I thought we did quite well, because out of all the Fulham players, I mean, everybody obviously looks at Paulinho, and Carlos Muniz was Premier League Player of the Month for March. But Anthony Robinson, I think, is such a – he's a player for them. And we did a great job today of keeping them quiet.
Yeah, I think when you look at him statistically, he actually ranks really, really highly in his position. And, you know, he's one of those players that, like, if Klopp was staying, I could see us looking at, just because he has some of the qualities that we have. Granted, we have backups in that position. But yeah, I think we did a good job keeping them quiet. I think today was a lot about control, and the control didn't necessarily look really flashy at parts, which I think is one of the reasons why a lot of people were frustrated at halftime. But this felt much more measured than a lot of our performances have of the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks. It felt like there was more of a plan, and it felt like our players stuck to the plan instead of panicking. And I think having that goal early on definitely helps.
Yeah.
And comment of the night.
Where's that one?
If you're old enough, you know. Someone made a great point about pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side.
Love it. Oh, we were so close. 420 was yesterday.
I know. Yeah, we just missed it. I mean, Scouser Pete says he saw a newborn wildebeest on safari and it had more coordination than Gravenberch. But hey.
He's got a hint of the Matips about him.
A little bit. It's all very, very much safari animals. But once they grow up and they become a full-blown adult, you're talking about a powerful, powerful animal there. So we just need to have a little bit of confidence that Graven Birch is going to turn into the player we think he's going to be. And I think the signs are there that he will. We get to the hour mark, Ashley, and we need another goal. Like, I don't know what's happened with Liverpool from when we were at our absolute peak under Jurgen Klopp, where it was like, we have a lead, we're fine. But a one goal lead, no worries. I guess I'm just nervous now that it's like, it's only a one goal lead. Like, cause a draw is, you may as well just lose. I mean, if you got a draw.
Yeah. I mean, so some of the pundits on my stream were talking about how having a lead, or especially having an early goal, actually means more at this point in the season, based off of what it does psychologically to the team, and how having that foundation to defend against or to use to your advantage is not nearly as emotionally draining as chasing the game is over and over and over. And we've been chasing the game over and over and over. And I think what we saw today when we were 2-1 up was, I wasn't sure, are we mature enough to hold on to this lead? I didn't know. Obviously time shows that, you know, that Fulham weren't going to score again, but I was worried. I felt like we needed another one just to settle nerves and to settle not just the nerves of the players, but the nerves of the fans. Cause I have not been able to enjoy a single one of our recent games. And that last maybe 10 minutes of today was just so pleasing. It's to just nice. Be able to just relax to a degree.
Look, you know, put an eye over on the Coventry Man United FA Cup game for a little bit and just take a little look down and not being completely terrified about what's going to happen to us. But I mean, somebody said it on a show a couple of months ago that if we're going to have any hopes of challenging for the Premier League title, we're going to need the goals that come from Diogo Jota. And since he's come back from injury, he's been a little bit out of form. You know, we had a couple of bites of the cherry when he came on against Atalanta in the first leg, headers that in the past you've seen him just get up and somehow manage to steer it into the bottom corner, and he was putting them wildly over and whatnot. That was a Diogo Jota goal. That one was like very, very shades of Spurs last season, of just latching onto that ball on that left-hand channel, putting it across the keeper into the side netting. And that's good to see, because he feels like the type of player to me, Ashley, that once he gets that one goal, oh shit, I saved this comment here. Hold on. I should be more professional about this, even though I don't actually get paid. It was Jono. He said, Diogo Jota's post-game comments comparing his goals to the ketchup. When the first drop comes, the rest flows.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And that's what we got to hope for, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very Jota shot. I mean, the thing with him is he knows where the goal is. Like, that's a really tight angle. That's a hard finish. But he knows where the goal is, and he makes the keepers work. So even if Leno had been able to get down, he would have parried into a really dangerous position. And it's one of those things that's what we've been missing. Like, we need people to work the keeper and work those angles. And Jota is that person. And it's funny, we were talking about him earlier saying that he was a little bit quiet and things like that. And we haven't had him in the team for a while, but that's kind of what Jota does. Like, he's quiet for 90% of the game, and then he pops up with a goal and you're like, oh, he's fantastic. Amazing. The rest of his game, you're like, where have you been? And that's just him in a nutshell. It's nice to see him back. I do think that it helps his confidence. And I'm sure, just like Trent was really hungry to get back on the pitch after his injury, I'm sure Jota felt the exact same way.
Yeah. How was your pucker, Kev, when the goal goes in, we celebrate, and they show the first still of the potential offside, because I looked at it, was like, oh fuck.
No, I thought it was on. First instinct, I thought it was on. Thought his knee was fractionally it. I think the amount of times that you look at close offside decisions over the years, and you get a real sense of what is and isn't. It's not often that you're caught, you know, that you're like, oh Christ, I thought that was on when it was off. Now, my very first instinct was that was fine. The best thing about that goal, it was a no-look pass to find him. So there was the disguise and the pass. He took two touches, Jota, to get the ball into the exact spot so he could shoot it. Yeah. That was the composure of a proper finisher. You know, the two touches that he took weren't to get him in on goal. It was to get the ball into the exact spot so he didn't have to break stride to shoot it. It was perfect. You know, exactly what we needed. And 2-1, look, the way the first half went, Fulham looked like they were quite happy for us to carry on having the ball because they honestly believed at 2-1 that they'll get a chance. You know, because of the way we've been playing recently, that a one-goal advantage. And yeah, I was nervous as all hell. The longer the game was going on at 2-1, nervous as all hell. Third one goes in and it's just like a euphoria. It's like,
yeah,
you know, complete, total relax. Enjoy the rest of the game and just see it out. Be professional. Play it properly. If more chances come, great. But don't do anything stupid, you know, yeah. And just manage the game out. We desperately needed this win and the way we approached the second half. We badly needed this. You know, we needed the goal from open play to get that off our back. To be able to go there and get a comfortable win in the end. Because it was a comfortable routine away win. But to be able to get that under your belt, really, really pleased with that. Really happy with that.
Yeah. Anthony Boylan says, please, we didn't repeat the final 10 minutes of the Brighton match. And that was the first half gave me that of like, we know not to do this. Like, why are you allowing them any sniff of getting back into this at the very end? But the second half played out very, not perfectly, but played out very well for Liverpool. But I mean, I got to say, I'm very happy with where the goal came because we were lining up a triple substitution of bringing on Mo Salah, Alexis McAllister and Darwin Nunez. And it gets put on pause. Fulham make a double substitution. We hold ours back. We go and score. And then we make our substitution afterwards. Yeah. And I have to say, maybe not Alexis McAllister, but the two forward substitutions, Ashley, I thought they were terrible. I thought they were terrible.
I mean, there was nothing really to report on. They didn't do
anything. There was a pile of offsides.
Except the offsides. Yeah, except the offsides. And I think McAllister gave the ball away in a really dangerous spot, like right in front of our box one time. So I don't know if that's because they weren't up to the pace of the game or because the players that were on the pitch are genuinely performing at a slightly higher level than they were. But yeah, there was not a lot to write home about. I think if any of them were pissed off that they didn't start today, you couldn't really see it when they came on. You would think that maybe it would have, you know, lit a fire under them, but I didn't see that.
Yeah, and I mean, Patrick Boyle asked, do you think we go with the same 11 again versus Everton? I doubt we do, just because if the statistic of we've gone 51 games without starting the same starting 11 again tells you anything, but I don't think any of those substitutes made a massive case for themselves to start the next game. I'll have to say, I completely missed the moment that Joe Gomez came on for. I'm almost certain it was Trent that he came on for, because that's when Coventry scored their goal that got chalked off for what would have been the most amazing comeback in the history of the FA Cup semifinal. So I completely missed that one. I mean, Szoboszlai comes on late for Gakpo. He had another one of those passes like he had against Atalanta in the first leg where it probably should have been punished. But at this point, it was pretty obvious to me, Kev, that Fulham were poor today. They weren't good. It's a good team.
They weren't, on an attacking sense, they weren't allowed. Yeah, in an attacking sense, they weren't allowed to be good.
Yeah.
I thought defensively, overall, in general, I thought defensively we held our shape really well. We had a 5-minute brain fart, you know, where we allowed the game to descend into chaos for 5-10 minutes. Other than that, I thought we really managed it. They had one effort late on. Alisson had to make a couple of saves, but there was one that he dropped. Yeah, it was his right hand. He just put his right hand down to the ground and got away with it. And just picked the ball up and just got on with it. But in the second half, there was the bicycle kick. that went off one of
their own players. Yeah, it's
That was going in for all money. That was going in for all money, 100%. And then you're into a situation with a nervy 5 minutes. But I don't think there's anything that we could do differently in that situation.
No.
You know, bar someone putting their head in there and getting it booted off. You know, he turned himself into an acrobat and just flung a leg at it, and it just got blocked off by their own player. But other than that, I thought we managed the game really well. I've watched Fulham a few times this season, and I think Marco Silva has done a really, really good job. He's got them playing really well. The one player that I was delighted, I don't know if he's out injured or not, but delighted he wasn't involved today, was Willian. I don't care what age he is.
I
look at him when he plays, and I'm like, he is one of the top three in my he got away from us list. He is a proper quality footballer. And anytime that he's not lining up against us, I'm delighted. But yeah, once Fulham started bringing the changes, I started to relax a lot more, especially when they took Paulinho off. I thought, okay, we're fine now. You know, we get 3-1. You can relax a bit then.
Exactly. And Brian O'Halloran pointing out that it is currently the Everton week for Liverpool. We play
Everton manager
Marco Silva. We have Everton in midweek, and then we play footballing genius David Moyes, who did not look like a footballing genius today because, holy crap, it's apparently we were lucky to get away with only getting beat by Crystal Palace 1-0 because they looked fucking dynamite today against West Ham earlier.
This is the thing. I just want to say is, you saw yesterday Pep Guardiola crying and bitching and moaning about having a 3-day turnaround in games.
Aww.
That's absolutely no different to what we had today. We played Thursday night away in Italy. They were at home. The amount of Thursday nights that we've had to play Sunday, it's a 3-day turnaround. It's the same for everyone who's playing in the Conference League or playing in Europa League. The fact that we're doing this on a regular basis, having a 3-day turnaround, and we're still pushing to be involved in a title race is really, it's not spoken about enough. You know, Guardiola is crying and bitching and moaning like a good thing that City had to play after extra time against Real Madrid. They played Wednesday night and they're playing Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. You know, build a bridge and get over it. It's like, what are you crying at? What are you crying about? You know, it's ridiculous.
Pep. That's just Pep. But I mean,
think what we've achieved this season so far, coming off the back of Europa League games into Premier League, has been talked long enough, and you can see.
Well, that's the thing, Kev. Right,
the West Ham would have had today.
Nobody that's ever played the Thursday Sunday has ever won the league, have they?
No.
I remember somebody mentioning that at the start of the year of like, that's not a good portent. You know, the fact that nobody that's ever been involved in the Thursday Sunday routine has ever won the league. So, you know, we're still in with the show.
We're still in it.
That's all we can hope for. Hey, it could come down to the final day and we could be needing goal difference and hoping for absolute bankers. Boy, that would be absolutely fun, wouldn't it? Let's go through some quotes. What do you got for us here, Ashley? Let's see. Trent Alexander-Arnold. What's he got to say?
There was a whole bunch. So Trent on the Merseyside Derby, he said, already it's exciting. When it comes to derbies, football goes out the window. It's down to who wants it most. He continues, it was disappointing last week. We have to make sure it doesn't happen again. If teams around us drop points, we have to be there. From now on, it has to be 5 wins from 5.
Goes without saying.
Dada came on and he said, it was massive for us, the win. It was a good performance, especially the second half. We have to bring it into the next game.
Oh, I got these out of order for you.
Sorry. Oh, that's all right. I think I put them in all different orders. Back to Trent. He said on his goal, there was no question. The second one was always going to be mine. We did our analysis on them. They jumped the Fulham wall. The Fulham wall did. And it just didn't work out for Harvey.
Yeah.
So Klopp on the derby, he says, it's really tough. This game is really special for both teams. And they, Everton, are a different animal when they show up there. But we will give it a go. We won the last two away games. I cannot ask for more. Especially today, the performance was really good. The boys played a really good football game. Historically, we struggle here much more against Fulham. I liked the performance. I liked the options to change. It's a good squad situation. We need all of them, and we need to fight through the games. On the players he brought in, he said, all of these boys have massive qualities. Sometimes the momentum is not there, but the quality is always there. And on a Liverpool response, he said, why wouldn't we respond? How did we get to where we are today?
Yeah. See, well, we didn't see it in the last few games, but...
And then Klopp on a win against Everton, putting pressure on City because they play later. He said, do you think that City feels this kind of pressure? They won everything these last few years. I don't know, and I don't care. We focus on ourselves.
There you go. There you go. It's literally all we can do. We have to hope for a little bit of help from other teams around the league. But I mean, Kev, 5 from 5. That's what it's down to now. I mean, there's no more. It could be this number of games. If this happens, we've got 5 games of Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool left.
I'm not ready for that conversation. I'm still. I'm still in a river in Egypt. Okay. And I'm quite happy being camped there for the next 4 weeks, to be honest. But
you're gonna need that holiday.
100. I would say I'm gonna be struggling to find somewhere to watch it, but I've done my research and apparently I'll be good.
Yeah, I think you'll be okay. Us Reds are everywhere.
Yeah.
Kev, who was your man of the match for today?
I'll be honest, right? For me, it was Cody Gakpo. I just thought the way he kept the ball, run with the ball, the chances he creates, playing on the left, you can see it's his best position. It's his most natural position. I think he can affect games a lot more from the left. I don't think anyone really stood out. There's arguments for a few others, but for me, I give it to Cody, no problem. I thought he was really, really good.
What about you, Ashley?
I agree. I think he stood out, but I also think Trent had another good game. You know, you can't gloss past that goal. I think that was world class. And again, just seeing that creativity and that passing, I think that he sort of was the catalyst for all the good things that came from the very, at least in the first 60 minutes.
Yeah, Trent just doesn't seem to have the 90 in his legs.
Yeah,
just
he's quite not yet. There yet, but yeah. That's fitness. That'll come. Yeah.
And it's a fucking crying shame that Connor Bradley picked up that injury, because it would be so nice to be able to have Trent on the pitch for as long as his legs can last, and then to bring Connor Bradley on to give us some more of that attacking impetus, not to denigrate what Joe Gomez has done for us this season. I would go with Archie Doolin. He was in early with this comment before the show even went to air, like a half hour before the show even went to air. You're really logging in early, Archie. Man of the match, Virgil, glue that held us together. There was just so many times where Fulham had a third of a chance or a half a chance, and Virgil was just there to cut it out and just kick that ball. There was one point I honestly think he was trying to kick the ball into the Thames. Like, he booted that thing over their main stand that backs onto the river. And I just thought that was great, but that's what we needed. That's the performance we needed. And now what we really need to see is everybody that's watching or listening to this is to go into the description for the show, find the GoFundMe link for our two charity partners, which is Fan Supporting Food Banks and the Lighthouse Cafe in Dublin. And please help us reach our fundraising target, because we're going to just keep hitting you for it again and again and again until it eventually happens. And while you're down there, check out the link for Phil Casey, who's on his quest 5 for 5. He's trying to raise 5,000 euros for the Laura Lynn Hospice in Dublin, which is the only children's hospice in Ireland. And instead of just getting on here and talking about football, he's running and kayaking up and down mountains and cycling thousands and thousands of kilometers, silliness stuff from a man of his age, but very, very commendable, very, very commendable. So if you can do that, please, please help donate, because these charities are doing absolutely fantastic work and we're just trying to help them out doing their good jobs. Become a member to the channel if you want. We're going to have some good member stuff coming on as we get to the end of the year. I imagine there's going to be some pretty laudatory shows looking back on the Jurgen Klopp years and going through all that. And hopefully Gav's work schedule clears up and we can get a few more absolutely mental 30 shows in the morning for members. So it's €3.99 a month, but for €3.95 a month, you can go to footballprizes.co.uk. You have less than 24 hours left to get in on their goalkeepers prizes that are available. Main prize is an Allison frame signed LED lit backed jersey that you can get, but all the prizes seem to have very much of a goalkeeper's flair to them about it today. But other than that, I mean, it's just nice to get back amongst the winning ways, isn't it, Kev?
We needed that, man. We needed that so
You're
much.
Just talking about the three of us, right? Not Liverpool football clubs.
Yeah, that's right. We all needed that. We all needed this, because nobody wants this push to stop. You know, we just want to be there and make sure that we're there on the last day and do all we can to get put us in a position that if anything happens, that we're there to snap it up. At the end of the day, we could end up finishing third in this race. We don't know. But I just want to, I'm just hoping that we're in the conversation come the last day of the season. And today went a long way in giving me confidence that we will be there. Great, great result. Solid performance. And roll on the blue shite on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah, that's all you can hope for. I mean, Ashley, it's unfortunately, given the result today, it looks like next season will also have two league Merseyside derbies, as well as Everton beat Nottingham Forest and look to solidify their place in the league again. But got to get up for a Merseyside derby, don't you? Everybody likes a derby.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we go out fighting, you know, I think it was just so glad to see them come back into fighting form and just have them show up. I just want them to show up. And I want to make sure that we go out of this season, hopefully with a bang, but just not with a whimper.
Yeah, which is what it kind of felt like the last couple of matches of like, oh boy, we are really just petering out. And Anthony Boylan, I will say, I did do the same thing just right now. Anthony Boylan says, today I looked how many points we need to make sure we finish above Villa and Spurs and guarantee that top four spot. Glad we can just win the next, win the next game again, whatever it gets. Yeah. But the maximum number of points that Tottenham can get at this point is 78, and we're currently on 74. So all the, you know, just getting to the Champions League for next season, that is almost to the point of being mathematically done and dusted. So now we can focus on the much more exciting and fun bits of pushing to a title race for the very final. And Archie Doolin saying Forrest was robbed today. Yes, it's not great, but thankfully they've got Mark Clattenburg on the payroll, and
whoever is advising that Twitter, whoever controls their Twitter account should be sacked on the spot for what he did. If a manager goes into a press conference or a player and says what they said, they would be facing a long suspension. Forrest are going to get.
They were effectively alluding that the VAR was a Luton fan and was conspiring against Nottingham Forest, cheating. Yeah,
I mean, look, Forrest should have had. I mean, the lads will go into this tonight, no doubt. But Forrest should have had 3 pens. I'm open and honest about that. They should have had 3 pens. Referee Anthony Taylor had a howler. It's Anthony Taylor. What do you expect? But at the end of the day, you cannot come out and imply that a match official is bent or is cheating. You can't. Like I said, imagine if Klopp come out and said that in a press conference, that we were cheated because X referee is from there and he supports that. You can't do that. You just can't. It's shocking. But before we go, El Clasico starts in 15 minutes. The lineups are in. Do you guys want to? Would you be watching El Clasico?
I didn't even know it was on. But there's nothing else on for about another 8 hour. 8 o'clock
kickoff. So, yeah. Real Madrid are starting with Lunin in goal. Vasquez, Rudiger, Tchouameni, and Camavinga at left back. Cruz, Valverde, Bellingham, and Modric as a midfield four. Vinny and Rodrigo up front. Barcelona are going with Ter Stegen, Koundé, Araújo, Kubrasi and Cancelo back four. Frankie de Jong, Christensen and Gundogan. Yamal, Lewandowski and Rafinha up front. That kid Yamal. My God.
You mean the child?
The child Yamal and the child Kubrasi. That centre-back Kubrasi. He's played about 15 games for them in first team. We rave about Kwanzaa, right? We rave. This kid is 17.
Yeah.
I have never seen a centre back at that age that good. 17 years of age. I think Real Madrid are 8 points ahead going into this. Madge is right. Barca need to get this one. I think it's available in the UK on, don't quote me, I think it might be available on TNT Sports. Not sure, but
it might be available on the high seas of the internet as well, too.
It's definitely going to be available. Whoever I'd be amazed if it's not. I mean, the thing is, it's arguably the biggest game in world football, without a doubt. I think
it just
Real Madrid, Barcelona. I miss the days when it was El Clasico, you know, when it was Ronaldinho and Messi and, you know, Zidane and all of that stuff. It doesn't have that vibe to it yet, but what Madrid are building towards is a scary prospect. They look like they're building a dominant side again.
Especially adding Alphonso Davies and potentially Mbappe and, you know, maybe next summer, Erling Haaland.
Just a few more.
Yeah, just collecting galaxies like the James Webb Space Telescope.
They've become masters of picking up the guy with a year left on his deal. Yeah. They've become very, very good at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that should be a good game. Kicking off in about 10, enough time for people to go and get a coffee. Go and get a beer, whatever. Sit down, relax on Sunday night.
And enjoy. Got to give them absolute massive shout out because we're not in the Europa League anymore. I believe everybody should be involved in Bayer Leverkusen watch. They scored in the 8th minute of added time to salvage a 1-1 draw against Dortmund and keep their undefeated in all competition streak alive. The story that's happening there is unbelievable. And if you can't get behind a team that had never won anything before with the Xabi Alonso connection, even if he's not coming to us, you still got to love it. There's something very Cinderella about it. So, you know, go on Leverkusen. But even more importantly than that, this is Liverpool. We went to Craven Cottage, the first of three league away games in a row. We came away with a 3-1 win. We're back to the top of the table, level on points with Arsenal, behind them on goal difference by about 7,890 goals or something like that. We go to Goodison Park on Wednesday, and I think it might have been one of the Bryans in here or something like that that said, oh no, it was Archie Doolin. This is a good final comment for the day. We bash the blue shite, and here's the hope, and that is indeed the case, because that is the only thing that will help us get where we all need to get this year. Thank you very much for joining us, everybody in the comments. Thank you for continuing to add to the beautiful community that we have here. Hit the like button if you've been watching us. If you're listening on a podcast afterwards, give us a 5-star rating. Consider becoming a member. Please consider donating to one of our charities or to Phil Casey's amazing charity drive that he's also doing as well too. But we will see you after the next match. Thank you very much, Ashley. Thank you very much, Kev. Enjoy Spain, my man. Do not come back too sunburned. Factor 50. Factor 50.
Your friend.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Stay in the shade. Exactly. Up the Reds. We'll see you guys after the Merseyside Derby. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.